Hello and welcome, everyone. This is Truth Beer and Podsequences with a little bit of a bonus content.
Yeah.
Bonus episode. So the other voice you heard belongs to the best co-host in Podcastlandia, and this voice that you're hearing belongs to me. I'm Marco. I'm taproom manager here locally. We got Julia, but guest joining us today.
Yes.
He has been on the podcast before, so I will introduce him. It is Jason from Higher Gravity.
Hey-o.
Welcome back.
Welcome back. Back.
Back.
I'm not even going to try. I've heard Noam try it. He fails. I don't think I can do it better.
And you're not even
going
to? That's all right. Maybe at some point, maybe your fourth or fifth time on the show, you'll feel confident enough to just try.
We'll see how this goes.
So we are enjoying some craft beverages while we record, and this bonus episode is going to be all about celebrating Higher Gravity's second anniversary here at Summit Park, because you guys kind of forgot about your own anniversary because there was a lot going on.
Yeah.
So definitely want to see thought process on that, because there wasn't one, because it came, it went, and you went, we've been here for a while.
Yeah, we actually had one of our regulars was in here, and she was like, hey, what are you guys doing for your anniversary party? And I was like, what?
Isn't that
coming up like this week? And I said, I don't know. Let me check. And then I looked, and it was like the same week. I'm like, oh, shit.
But in addition to your anniversary, there is going to be a new, I don't want to call it like a sub-business within the business coming up, but a new aspect to what Higher Gravity is and what you're offering to people, and that's coffee. And I am incredibly excited about that. So we're going to talk about those two things. Be like a little 20 to 30 minute episode, just depending on how off track we get.
That would be short for us.
That would be short for us, yes. We all have craft beverages. I'm having Who's a Good Beer by Streetside. Fantastic. Marco, what do you have in your glass?
Is this Rot House?
It is.
It is Rot House Pils.
There you go. Jason just knows. And he's like, I know what you want. I'm not even going to ask.
Well, I did ask.
Did you ask?
Yeah. And as soon as he said it, I was like, yeah. I don't know why I even wasted my breath there.
Nice.
That's usually it. Whatever number three is what I start with.
Yeah.
That is true.
Possibly end with. It all depends.
That is very true. And Jason, how about yourself?
Yeah. So I had a pretty long weekend, so I'm kind of, I know this is a beer podcast, I don't want to get shit for not drinking beer on a beer podcast.
It's a craft beverage, it's fine.
I am drinking a craft beverage from a local brewery, though, so I'm trying one of these new Costalos from Urban Artifact. It's a THC soda. I said seltzer to Scotty last week when they came in, and he berated me for saying seltzer, because they are actually craft sodas, not seltzers.
Okay. But I think that I probably would have made the same mistake, to be honest. I haven't read over the cans fully yet, so.
Yeah, but they are delicious. The red cream and the grape I really like a lot. The cherry cola, I've never been a cherry cola fan, so I think it was done well, but not my favorite. But
if it's a flavor you don't like normally, it's
It's
going to be hard for like one specific beverage to change your mind on that.
Yeah, but this red cream is on point, so here I am.
Higher Gravity Summit Park second anniversary. That's huge. I mean, for any small business to continue past like 2-3 years is huge. For a small business to open up an additional location and continue that success is absolutely phenomenal. So first and foremost, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Absolutely love everything that you guys have done from the first time that I walked into the doors down at Northside. The space you have here is absolutely amazing. It's only going to get bigger and better as Mad Tree opens up, because you'll have people coming from both sides of the park to show up here. Kind of the first question that I wanted to ask is, what has changed for you about Summit Park within those 2 years, as far as would you do anything differently looking back on it, or has something surprised you that has happened here at Summit Park that you didn't expect, be it the clientele or what you've started to do, as far as did you ever think coffee would be a part of Higher Gravity, either location?
Yeah, so I mean, there's kind of a lot in both of those both of those questions there. So
that way I don't have to talk anymore. It's all you.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, as far as what we would do differently, coffee from the start would have been it. That was our original plan, was to have coffee. It was going to be a hybrid space where coffee shop during the day, bottle shop bar at night. And I say during the day and at night kind of thing. The bar is going to open at 7 a.m. when coffee opens up. So
you can still get anything.
The bar is going to be open the whole time. If you're a third shifter and you're looking for a place, once coffee opens up, we'll have that too. So there's not really a clear delineation between when coffee ends and beer begins kind of thing. But again, that was part of the original plan. We were planning on coming into the space with Higher Gravity and a coffee partner. And for some lease negotiation reasons, the landlord didn't want us doing coffee. So we did not from the start. Now here we are 2 years later, the park still does not have coffee.
That's true.
And we have a new landlord, which is nice. So they are allowing us to pull that trigger and convert into the daytime coffee shop. Now, luckily for us, when we were planning this space out and setting everything up, we had already set up everything as if we were going to eventually do coffee anyway.
Okay.
Or start with coffee. There's a few minor tweaks that we're going to have to do in the space, but overall, there's not a lot that will change as far as the layout of everything, mm-hmm. and we're not having to do major construction or major right. electrical or plumbing or anything like that. So there's not a lot of changeover mm-hmm. from that because we had already planned for that from the beginning.
Mostly just kind of opening up space on the bar to put whatever coffee making devices that you want to have.
Yeah, but exactly. And we're going to be full service coffee shop. So bringing in a nice espresso machine, adding some very knowledgeable coffee people to mm-hmm. our staff to run the coffee side of things. Nick and I will still oversee everything mm-hmm. And have our hands in all the coffee, but we are bringing on a couple guys that that's their specialty is coffee, so it'll flow and everything will be Higher Gravity centric. Mm-hmm. I don't think you'll feel a difference in terms of the aesthetic, the layout or anything like that. It's just going to be some new offerings, and I'm obsessed with coffee. They're like, I have two vices. One is coffee, the other one is beer, and maybe now THC, I guess. But so adding those in, I think is going to extend the life of our space, and also add something to the neighborhood and mm-hmm. the park specifically. That's just, it doesn't exist right now.
Right. I mean, if you wanted to come to Summit Park and take a walk around any of the trails with a coffee in the morning,
what better bring
is the closest place, like one of the Starbucks either down in Blue Ash or down by Glendale Milford. There's probably a couple other smaller local places that I'm not thinking of, but there's really even Sugar and Spice. I mean, they have coffee, but it's
purely just.
I don't even
want to talk about
just...
that.
So yeah, there are a few places around here that have coffee as like a byproduct or mm-hmm. part of what they offer, but it's not their focus mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. So sure, you can go get a cup of drip coffee from Sugar and Spice.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for cappuccinos, lattes, if you're looking for something that's made by like our trained
beverage.
Barista,
yeah.
That's just, you're going to have to go to Starbucks for that. And I, without bashing too much, I can't stand Starbucks, and I know I'm not the only one in that boat.
Right.
If you add enough sugar and flavorings and cream to it to where you're not really tasting the coffee anymore, it's fine.
Sure.
One of the early conversations you and I had when I started working here was about coffee, and I was like, yeah, I get a Starbucks every now and then. He's like, well, I like a couple of other places. And he started talking about some of the other places and you know what they offer, and I realized, like, no. Yeah, I drink coffee because, I mean, I'll raise my hand. I'm addicted to coffee, but he likes, like, he digs coffee. Mm-hmm. It's a thing for him. So that's pretty neat that it's going to come into this space. It's pretty neat that being in the business plan and then not being able to execute it for whatever reason, things have changed as over those 2 years that now you're going to be able to do that. And yes, this is something I can understand with the ownership, the previous landlords, you know, hoping to be able to attract something to fill that space 2 years later and new landlords saying, go ahead and do it. That's awesome that you're going to be able to do that now. And that's just probably one of the small changes over the past 2 years that, you know, is just most recent in memory. But, I mean, there's little changes all over the place. And you're really hands-on with a lot of this stuff. Like, I see the bistro lights out front that mm-hmm. you put the lights out on the patio.
Yeah.
There used to be a drink rail out there that I saw you took the drink rail out. It's just little minor tweaks over the past 2 years that have really, you've tried and then you maybe come back and done something different. But the core of Higher Gravity is still the same. I mean, you can still get carefully curated great craft beer. You're still a full bar where you can get, you know, a variety or basically whatever you want as far as a mixed drink is concerned, and being able to provide all the garnishes and mixers and all of that to be able to make just about whatever it is you're looking for, some variation on whatever it is you're looking for from a spirits perspective.
Well, I feel like going forward, almost any craft beverage that you could want, from coffee to your cocktails to your beer, I mean, I guess wine could be considered a craft beverage just because of how it's made. If you want to throw that into the mix, you will be able to get it higher gravity. The last thing that you'll need to put in is one of those, like, Coca-Cola, like, create your own. So, yeah, Jason's face when I said that. Wish you guys could see the live stream right now.
There, I mean, there is a little bit of that. We do have some create your own stuff going on sometimes.
Right.
We get a lot of people coming in looking for some crazy cocktails, and cocktails aren't necessarily our focus, but we do have some bartenders that love to play around with that kind of stuff. And we have some great cocktail artists in here, and I don't think a lot of people really know that when they first come in.
Yeah.
But you mentioned the wine, which I think there's a lot of crossover between wine and coffee, which I think we can talk about in a little bit.
Absolutely.
But as far as Marco, what you were saying, as far as like little tweaks here and there and kind of growing into the space, that's how we've done both of our locations so far. And I don't know if you would remember Northside, how that started to where it is now. And then this same place, when I posted that we forgot about our birthday, I had posted like, hey, here's what it looked like the day we opened. Here's what it looks like now. And it is completely different. Yeah. We pretty much start with like...
But it feels the same, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, it's like it still feels... It doesn't feel like you walk in and go, oh, this isn't the same place that I've been coming. It's, oh, wow, this is refreshed.
Yeah.
But it's still higher gravity. It's,
and it feels, I think for a lot of people, it feels more like home. And we part of the reason we start so blank, because you go to a lot of these places and they've spent so much time and effort putting detail in every inch of every wall. You don't talk about just square footage when you're building now. You're talking about cubic feet because you're talking about everything
wall,
that goes
ceiling,
up on the walls.
Right,
yep.
Right.
We kind of almost start with a blank canvas on the walls. And, you know, we've got our seating, we've got our main stuff. But part of what we've done in both places is like, hey, let's feel out our customer base, our clientele, kind of see how they're going to want to use it. And then we start to fill in and adapt that space.
Like the different, you know, flags for the sporting teams and the scarves and all that. I do like that. There are some places that my Josh and I went down to Fabled yesterday, and there were a couple walls that they do such a great job of crafting that space. But there are a couple walls that are blank, and it looks odd. And you can tell that it's for that same reason.
Right.
It's for them to start putting in other things as they continue to grow. But it does kind of put a type of separation there, whereas when you start with an entire blank space, you watch it grow. It's not a very stark, striking difference between looking at this wall versus looking at that wall. It still feels like the same space, no matter how much or how little is currently there.
Even the order or the placement of the flags, in some cases, have stories.
Yes,
they do.
I did get in trouble for putting the FCC flag too far down the wall, and that changed. But, otherwise, there's been a lot of stuff that we've added, make it feel a little more homey. We're one of my biggest things is sound quality, and we have concrete floors in here. It's never going to be perfect, but I'm constantly looking for ways to both decorate and control sound at the same time, because we are a sports bar. We are getting bigger and bigger FC Cincinnati crowds. So the more that we lean into that kind of side of the business, the better I want it to sound in here, so you can hear those announcers talking, that kind of stuff. We've got some vastly upgraded speakers that are in here, so it sounds great.
It definitely, I noticed the difference when I came in for, I forget which FC game it was, after you guys got the new speakers, and I remember going, it's a lot clearer. If I hadn't been here before and I just walked in, I'd think, man, this place sounds fantastic. So
yeah, you can
I don't want to call that a little thing, because I know that those weren't cheap for you guys to to redo the sound system here.
Yeah.
But it's something that I'm glad that you
It's something that pays dividends for people. People definitely notice it. And before people were like, hey, can you turn it up more? And we're like, they're maxed out. We can't really do it.
If we do, you're just going to hear static. It's just going to be vibrations and all that.
So small things like that, and then adding, kind of changing up the area around the beer cave now was something that we had talked about for a while. But then when coffee hit, it was like, okay, yeah, we're going to
kind of
take away
area.
Some of the bar types, traditional bar type seating, and change it into what is more comfortable, a place you want to sit down and hang out. And our space has always been sort of conducive to sitting down and working too. We have outlets everywhere. It's a place that you could come in during the day and sit here and have meetings, do whatever you want to do. But it wasn't necessarily a place where you were going to sit down and just chill for hours and, you know, kick back in a couch or anything like that, which now we do have that part added, and all of our seating is pretty comfortable, so you could, but not to the level that we've integrated now with coffee coming. So just one more thing to add to the changes over the past 2 years.
There you go.
What's we've talked about on our podcast about how just the change in the local major grocery store chain and the paring down of the SKUs that they're offering really lends itself to being able to talk about and highlight a place like Higher Gravity and what you're able to do and what you're able to offer. You can find the beers that are just not going to be on a lot of grocery store shelves and yet are going to be prominent in the area, whether it's local or whether they're coming in from outside of this locality, because those were never going to be on the grocery store shelves anyway. So you had to go to a specialty place to find those. So the fact that the pendulum is swinging back in favor of a business like this is pretty cool. And it's going to keep swinging. It's nudging this way now, but it's going to become more and more prevalent as those sets really, really get placed at the grocery store chains.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty excited about that. I know from like an ease of access for customers that does kind of suck, because if you're at the grocery store already, it's just so easy for you to grab something off the shelf. And it was great to have some of those options at a Kroger or Meijer or wherever to be able to do that and make it one less stop for you. That's awesome. But at the same time, I do like the idea of some of that product mix being in the hands of people who like really care about the product and are going to watch out for dates and make sure things are getting rotated around and really highlighting what that product is, how it's made, and being able to showcase and talk about that in the space. Like, nobody can do that at Kroger for the most part.
Right. I just hope that producers don't decide. I hope they decide to go ahead and continue making a lot of that stuff and putting it in packaging versus saying, well, if I can't get it out to this volume of locations, then I don't know if it makes sense to package and would just offer in a draft only sort of scenario. However, this place is the place for that too.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see that, because before Kroger started pulling in a lot of that stuff, like for example, every time Urban Artifact would come out with a new Midwest fruit tart, we would buy 20 cases of it. Now we buy two, because it's so easy to get at Kroger, Meijer, and you know, random gas station here and there. So we were selling through all that. So people were looking for it. So the question is going to be, are people still going to be willing to go look for it at us? And if that's the case, I think the volume could still be there. It's just a question of like how lazy people are going to be.
Right. That's what the grocery store is doing, is banking on you continuing the habit of purchasing your package at their place, even though
what you're wanting is not there.
Yeah.
So kind of on that same line, and I know this has nothing to do with coffee or with your anniversary, but I do love this conversation. I know that when you're talking about a place like Kroger, it is incredibly hard to get additional SKUs on shelves. For Higher Gravity, is that something to where, we'll just use Urban Artifact as an example. If Kroger decides we're just not going to carry it anymore, there's nowhere to get it except for at Urban Artifact and these smaller places. If Urban now has 5, 6, 7, 8 new SKUs, how easy is it for you to go ahead and add those? Or do you just say, we will find a way to make the space? Do you idea of trying to figure out?
We're pretty flexible in terms of like what we're putting on the shelves, and especially for a producer or a brewery that we know is going to do well. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit hesitant with new breweries coming to market some of the times.
Sure.
But as far as ones that are established and ones, and I know which ones don't work for us, mm-hmm. too. So if they came to me and said, hey, you've got one SKU of mine, now I can't get into Kroger, can you take 10? No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
But if it's a brewery that I know people are going to be looking for, and specifically customers who are looking for that variety of craft mm-hmm. are going to be looking for, then we'll figure it out. We're pretty flexible. We're not like nice. Kroger where, you know, if it's not in the corporate set, it can't be on this spot in the shelf.
Right.
Or you've been in here before. Our placements on our shelves change daily.
Sure, yeah.
Because we're just constantly moving things around, adding stuff. And one of the things I do, because I am really conscious about dates on cans, is most of the time I only bring in one or two cases of mm-hmm. everything that comes in. And if it sells out and I can't reorder it the next week because it's gone at the distributor, then, you know, that's just, you know, we lost out. But we'll get something else in that's similar mm-hmm. the next week, and our customers are mostly pretty cool with that. So I think that constant flow is what people come for us to.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
They know that there's going to be a chance of an out of stock.
But you might find something else that you're like, I had no idea this was even out there.
Exactly.
I'm going to give this a try, and now it's my new favorite of the week kind of thing.
Right. And like a Kroger or Jungle Gyms or whatever, they're going to order a whole pallet of something. So that placement's not going to change, whereas my placement with those two cases selling out, now that just opens up more room for something different. Or if it did that well and people are still looking for it and I can reorder it, I will.
Makes sense.
So constantly moving, whereas bigger places like that, they just don't have the flexibility to do it. Mm-hmm. So,
speaking of constantly kind of moving, changing, things being, I don't want to say in flux, because I feel like that might sound like more of a negative connotation than what I mean. Amazing things have happened here in the 2 years that you guys have been in Blue Ash. What do you hope to accomplish in the next 2 years? What would be your next stepping stone to say, man, if we could get these one or two extra things, if we could do this outside on the patio or have this type of event happen, what's your next, to use Gnome's words, measure of success for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years here at Summit Park?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like the next event or anything like that, there's we don't generally look at our planning like that as much for us. The biggest,
kind of let Summit Park handle the events, and you just kind of
I mean we're still going out, we're still looking for events.
Oh, yeah,
we've built
sure,
a good
sure.
relationship with the city of Blue Ash, so they have integrated us into event type stuff. But
sure.
I don't know, for me, some of the events we like to keep pretty fluid in terms of, hey, because if you lock yourself into things, you're not going to be able to be as flexible as we
sure,
are
with other
and
things
be able
yeah.
to move. So we don't plan those out. Other than a couple big events, we don't really plan that far ahead. I mean, for us, the biggest thing is right now in Summit Park specifically is locking down coffee, making sure we're not losing any traction that we have on the beer side. Mm-hmm. Just because we're opening up a new facet of the business doesn't mean I want to lose any of the aspect that already exists here at Higher Gravity
sure.
on beer, wine, liquor, that kind of stuff. So
sure.
don't want to lose momentum there. Make sure we're keeping our eye on the ball, because essentially we are opening a new business.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's not a new space, it is a completely new business, and it'll almost be marketed as a separate business, even
okay.
though it's all integrated into one entity here. So for us, the biggest thing is just to continue to bring good product to our customers, continue to try and bring in the best people behind the bar.
Which I think you guys have always done a fantastic job with your staff.
I think we've been really
very lucky yeah.
with our staff. But also I gotta continue to find ways to keep them busy, because Nick and I both owe it to our staff to make sure that they always have a job and they're not having to worry about putting food on the table, making rent, that kind of thing.
Sure,
so
sure.
our constant look is just like, how do we increase our consistency in the space? Because we have any bar or restaurant has this, where it's, you know, you have a couple crazy days and then you have slow days. So it's our constant look ahead is always, how do we fill in those slow times
mm-hmm.
and just work through that. So that's maybe not as long of a runway as you were asking, but that's
kind
of where
though,
we
you
look.
Know? Yeah,
so,
yeah. I mean, I don't feel like businesses always need to have a huge physical, you know, marker, so to speak, of what they want to accomplish in the next few years. If they're like, hey, we just want to make sure that what we're doing is as good in 2, 3, 4, 5 years down the road as we hope it is right now. I mean, that's good. That's going to take a ton of effort, just as much effort as if you said, in 2 years we want to have blackout shades over the front window so that light's not constantly hitting the beers in the beer cooler. I don't know, just to pick like some weird random.
I do have that on my, it's on my checklist, but the espresso machine got in the way of that. But,
which, you know, hey,
yeah,
coffee takes precedence. I understand that. As far as the coffee, and then we're almost at 30 minutes, so just to be respectful of your time, because I know you have other stuff that you have going on, you're going to have all different kinds of coffees, and I'm sure you know the additions to make people like me who like sugar in their coffee more often than not happy. Pastries or any other kind of breakfast things, or just beverages?
Yeah, so with the coffee, so coffee first. Our plan is to do everything pretty clean, mm-hmm. pretty traditional coffee, so we're not going to be making frappuccinos or anything like that in here. Cappuccinos, lattes, espresso, Americanos, that kind of thing. So keep it pretty true to the coffee roots.
Okay.
So you won't see a lot of syrups or anything like that around here. Not a lot of, you know, like flavoring additions or anything like that. So coffee menu would be pretty basic because we want to highlight the coffee itself. And then the plan is we already have our house blend or our house roast here that we went through. It probably took us a good 2-3 months to blend everything together and figure out what we liked the best, what we thought would do the best with, you know, a general customer base.
And to kind of clarify that, this isn't just going to, and I don't remember the roaster that you said you're going with, so this isn't just getting bags of Deeper Roots or Urbana or one of the other local, you know, roasters in the area, just having them ship in bags of their coffee. You guys actually created your own blends to have here.
Correct.
That's fantastic.
So we are going, we're not roasting ourselves, but we are going through a contract roaster to do it. And to do that, we tasted like 30 different single origin coffees and then took all those origin coffees and then started playing around with blending. And so, you know, go through the process of tasting each one individually, writing down notes, flavor profiles of everything, and then kind of deciding like, well, what would we like to add, what doesn't, what do we not think works very well, and then tried I don't know how many different blends before we came up with the blend that we have now, which will be our house blend. So we'll have our house blend all the time. It'll be available in drip coffee, and then we'll also sell bags of it to go.
Okay, nice.
And then our
whole
plan,
bean ground,
we'll have it in whole bean, but we can always grind it for you.
Okay.
And then our plan is to have like a rotating single origin, so we'll have our house blend, and then we'll always have something else that is changing. So similar to how we do beer, everything's constantly moving on that side, so you're not just having the same thing every single time. Or if you want that and you like that, that's great. We'll have it. Our house blend is always here, but then we'll rotate one of those around. We have our espresso blend already ready to go. And what we don't know yet, and part of this coffee process is just figuring out what our customers are going to want in the space. Same thing we did with the layout and the look of this space in general, is kind of starting with one spot and dialing it in. But what we're, at least Nick and I, because we both really like espresso, is if we're doing enough of that side of the business, we'd like to also bring in a rotating espresso so you can kind of change up and experience some different stuff in there, because I don't think a lot of people around here really play around with
probably with their
espresso flavors. So
eventually little coffee flights, like try the three or four different kind of coffees we have. They're all made the same, but this is, you know, single origin. This is our blend. This is the espresso. This is, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
So
that'd be very cool.
Doing some stuff like that. And I know I was bashing Starbucks before, but one of the things that I got to do in Chicago last time I was out there was we went to the Starbucks roastery, which, if you ever get out there, go. There's, I think it's on like the fourth floor. You get, there's an experiential bar.
Okay.
And so they offer, I think it's just two different experiences where you can do one type of bean on four different types of
roast levels or whatever?
No, no, no. Four different types of like makers. So
You
can try it like on a drip machine. You can try it. Like we did a coffee siphon. You can do it
because like the grinds would be different, like the size of the grinds, right? Not really.
Yeah, depending on what you're using. Like if you're doing a Bodum like coffee pour over versus if you're doing it in drip or doing
right.
pulling it through an espresso, it's going to come out differently. So you can do it four different types, or one type of coffee on four different machines.
Okay.
Or you can do four different types of coffee on one machine and then see how the
cool.
flavors change throughout. So
that's
just,
very cool.
Just doing some stuff like that is what I'd like to show people because we...
How many? Good.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, how many of your own personal coffee apparatus, because I know that you and I have talked... You know, off mic before about, oh, have you heard about this thing, this, you know, the gravity filter, this and that, and you're like, oh yeah, I have one of those, and the Chemex and this and that. So
yep.
How often will there be just a random alternative coffee making device show up here for a day or two?
I mean it'll probably happen quite a bit, but as far as like how often or like what's really going to be in here all the time, I'm not sure yet, because we're going to start pretty
just
simple
show up.
And then
we'll
start adding some of that stuff in as we go, but it's just coffee to me is very similar to wine or beer in that, and it's a little more nuanced than those things. But once you really start going down the rabbit hole of,
there are a lot more similarities.
Yeah. Just like the origin, the elevation, that kind of stuff will change that flavor profile so much. And once you really start to get into, tasting all those and putting them side by side, trying them in different methods, I think it's very fun, and it's almost the same to me as like going through what does red wine from Italy taste like versus
red wine from France or wherever.
Exactly.
Right. And then pastries or any type of food, like breakfasty food type thing for people that do come in at 7 a.m.
yep.
and want that. Okay.
Yep. So right now we're not going to be doing anything that's going to get heated or fully cooked or anything, but we are going to be partnering with a couple local bakeries doing pastries every day, and those will kind of rotate day to day.
Okay.
But there will be
some food product.
Like, yeah.
Some breakfast
croissants and danishes, that kind of thing will be here for you to have with your coffee and that kind of. You gotta have some good stuff on that end too.
Stroop waffle, just warming up over your coffee and nom away at those. I'd be good with that.
That's one way to do it.
Well, what else do you want people to know about Higher Gravity Coffee? When are you guys planning on launching that? I know that may be one of those ish kind of dates that a lot of breweries, a lot of small businesses have. But when can we expect to? I know you already have the neon up on the wall in the back. But any dates, or is there anything that you're wanting to put out there?
Yeah, so right now we're waiting on the equipment to get here.
Okay.
It's scheduled to come in the end of this month. So our goal is to be fully open and like fully grand open by the middle of May.
Nice. And all that will be on the new HG Coffee Company social media pages, I'm assuming.
Correct.
Is there going to be a different website as well, or is everything going to be tied into the main Higher Gravity Craft House website?
It'll be a separate website.
Okay.
They'll all be linked together and stuff like that, but
separate
website for it, separate social media profiles. So Instagram, Facebook, those are on there. Our TikTok, I'm still figuring out the process of TikTok. So TikTok is one integrated platform for all of our HG related stuff.
All right.
But everything else will be separated.
Okay.
As far as like what to expect, come check us out once we get things going. We're really excited about it. We've got a couple of people, including myself and Nick, that just absolutely love coffee, probably almost as much as we like our beer around here. So I think you'll get a good product. But then also at the same time, one of the things that we want to do in this space is create that space where you can either come work, or if you're just looking for a place to chill out and, you know, read a book and sit there and lounge with a good cup of coffee in your hand, it's also going to be a place where you can sit here and hang out all day. If you kind of work like I used to. So back when I, before I started in this business, I would go to Braxton every Friday morning. I'd start there with a coffee, and then as soon as lunch hit, I'd order lunch from somewhere, and I'd switch right over to beer, finish out whatever emails or whatever I had to do for the rest of the day. Try to always stack my meetings in the morning and do it that way. So if you're someone who wants to start working in the morning with coffee and then switch over to beer or wine, I for me, that is a really fun experience, especially like on a Friday when you're at the end of your week.
And everything's just winding down.
It's a good way to transition right into the weekend, that kind of thing. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's cool. That's really awesome. And then here, obviously, with the space, I mean, the park is right there. So not only can you work like that on a day of your choice, but you go out and get a nice walk in or, mm-hmm. you know, take part in something in the park.
Yeah. And I don't know that a lot of people really know how big Summit Park is sometimes, too. We did a beer run, mm-hmm. Which was a 5K, and we're going to be doing it again this October, too, the Brew Ash Beer Run. A lot of people had gone through that and been like, I had no idea those wooded trails were back there until you put mm-hmm. me out here. So definitely a cool area to just like grab a beer, because you can do that since it's a Dora area, mm-hmm. or take your coffee and go out, take a walk, bring the dog, do that kind of thing. And it's definitely a lot more to explore than I think a lot of people see when they first come in, because mm-hmm. a lot of people come into Summit Park and
see the loop and
that's it.
And that's it. Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. And then any thoughts on HG Coffee Company merch, either branded mugs or anything like that? Or is that still a little too ambitious because you don't even have the equipment?
We do already have coffee mugs in here. They aren't HG Coffee Company, but
it has the HG logo on it.
The Live Higher thing on there. So we've got that, and I actually just, like, maybe 20 minutes before you walked in, put a T-shirt order in, so there will be some T-shirts coming in.
Heck yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't tell Josh that I'm going to be buying another T-shirt.
Does he not listen to your show?
He's behind.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I might have like a little bit of a buffer there. So, Josh, when you listen to this...
Sorry.
Sorry, not sorry.
Right.
Well, Jason, thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy day to talk to us about coffee, about beer, and about Summit Park and being here for 2 years. Here's to a hell of a lot more. Can't wait to see what you guys do next.
Yeah, thank you guys for having me on.
You.
It's always fun hanging out with you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Well, we still have to go falling at some point. We still have to make that happen.
As long as Marco's arm is recovered.
Oh, yeah. We're ready.
We're good.
Oh,
we're good. I think he's good, yeah.
I told you, Jordan, so my son is 9. We went falling a couple months ago, and he beat me. It's the first time he has ever beat me at anything.
And you're still mad about it, aren't
you? I'm still upset about it. We should go practice when he's not around so that next time I can beat him. But yeah.
That works for me.
That's fun.
All right. Well, you guys know where to find us for all of our social media and how to contact us. Come up to Higher Gravity Summit Park. Get some coffee up here in, I'm just going to say, a month max. Would that be fair-ish? Because it's the 22nd, so if the equipment should be here within the next 2 weeks, just say 2 week training lead time, making sure that everything's going the way that it needs to. Keep an eye on all of the Higher Gravity social media pages. Visit them down at Northside as well. The space is gorgeous down there. The outdoor space is fantastic. And I'm finally used to where the new door location is, so I don't walk to the damn window whenever I try to.
Don't get too used to it, because that whole front area is changing here soon.
I can't get used to anything. And it's fantastic. The change is great. All right, guys, stick around with us. And Wednesday, I believe this is probably going to come out on Wednesday with our calendar episode. And then Friday, we will be giving you guys an episode where we talk about all of the Cincinnati craft beer media content that came out.
Awesome.
We'll see you guys there. Thanks again. Bye.